Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Raid on Inferno by Yuri Yelengov, translated by Ksenia Akilova, narrated by Mike Carnes. Chapter 1. Earth Federation, Orion System, Rhapsody, the Orange Zone, a.k.a. the Verge. As I reached the edge of the airfield, I looked around, trying to figure out how to get back to the fort. Thanks to Alice and the map, I knew where I was, and I knew I had a long way to go. I needed to take a break and lay out a relatively safe route before heading out. It wasn't until the tournament was over that I realized just how tired I really was, both physically and mentally. My energy levels were fine, but I was exhausted, and the prospect of walking through a territory which wasn't exactly the safest for over 10 miles didn't sound tempting. In theory, I was close to the clan's area of responsibility, and the creatures should have been forced out of here. But, damn it, Dis and I had encountered morphs even in limbo, so it'd be foolish to expect this to be an easy walk. After thinking about it, I decided I wasn't going back today. I'd rather find a shelter and stay there until tomorrow. I'll rest, recover, and then hit the road. I climbed inside the wrecked fuselage of a large passenger aircraft, took off my backpack and weapons, and sat back in the surprisingly intact seat with a sigh of relief. Damn, it felt good. I didn't even want to think about going anywhere right now. All of a sudden, a priority message notification popped up on the dashboard. Sanders. Hey, hero. Congratulations. You did great. Text me the coordinates. We'll come get you. I grinned happily. Sanders, my good man. Had the clan leader been here right now, I'd have given him a hug, despite all the dislike I had for him. Man, how could I have forgotten that I was still a member of the clan, and that instead of walking through the Verge, I could just ask him to pick me up? I was pretty sure I'd earned the Thunderbirds a decent amount of bonuses today, so sending a vehicle was the least they could do for me. I texted Sanders the coordinates, explained how to find me, and relaxed. That was it. I could finally get some rest. And, in the meantime, scroll through the notifications which, based on the blinking icons, there were a lot of. I opened the dashboard and started with the system messages, as always. Attention! New achievement received. Guardian of the Verge. You are now one of the 12 winners of the tournament. You received a reward from the administration. XP received, 100,000. Credits received, 1,000,000. You unlocked a new level. 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 Current level, 41. XP to the next level, 26,500. Attention, you have reached level 40. You now have access to new implants and body modifications. Sure. As soon as I got into the medical pod, the system would find the centipede. And I wasn't even sure how that would go for me. Probably not well. They'd snatch me up, lock me in a cage, and start experimenting on me. And once they'd played with the biocomputer inside my head long enough, they'd probably remove it. I could, of course, assume that Vio had been lying when he said that in that case I'd die, but as long as there was the slightest chance that he was being honest, I'd have to be careful. So, implants and mods were out of the question. My level would forever be just a number. The bonuses it gave me access to were... alas, out of my reach. Personally, I didn't really care about stuffing my body full of hardware and electronics, but as practice had shown, that was something you couldn't survive without here on Rhapsody. Well, I guess I'd have to figure something out. All right, what's next? Attention, your green zone visitation limit has been increased. You now have 7 48-hour visits available. The minimum interval between visits is 7 days. Damn, that was tempting, but I was afraid I wouldn't be able to use any of the visits anytime soon. First of all, I didn't think the rest of my team had any visits left. And secondly, I shouldn't put my guard down just yet. My teammates had been spending most of their time in the relative safety of the fort, going on missions with Sanders' men occasionally. I didn't think they needed to go to Elysium just yet, and I'd manage. I'd be fine. Attention, you have reached level 40. You now have access to new features. Creating your own clan. Creating an outpost. Now that was interesting. If the outpost was what I thought it was... I clicked on the link and the description text appeared in front of me. The outpost is your clan's home, fortress, and headquarters. You can equip an outpost from scratch or link an existing one, provided that none of the members of the clan which the outpost belonged to previously appeared in its territory within 1 calendar month. When you equip an outpost, you receive a kit to deploy a small bio lab, a small tech lab, a regeneration chamber, a small power reactor, a small recycling reactor, a small harvester, and a small construction printer. By mining resources and helping to defend the sector, you receive progress points. Once you have accumulated enough progress points, you can upgrade your outpost to a full-fledged fort. I'll be damned. An outpost. A small biolab. What had Alice been saying about changing the diagnostic module settings to cheat the system? In someone else's fort, no one was going to let me mess around with their equipment, but in my own fort, that seemed like something I should seriously consider. Okay, and what about the clan? Having your own clan doesn't just mean having a community of like-minded people and making your survival at the range easier. It also means clan assignments. By completing clan assignments, you receive extra credits and clan progress points. Part of the credits earned by clan members is automatically transferred to the clan treasury, and part of the experience, if necessary, is converted into clan progress points, which in turn can be converted into your fort or outpost progress points. Creating your own clan allows you to participate in the clan ranking and receive bonuses for advancing in it. To learn more about all the clan's benefits and features, go to the relevant section of the Quick Reference Guide. Attention! Before you can create your own clan, you must leave the clan you currently belong to. Well, that made sense. I might need to think about it. After all, you only had two options at the Verge: join someone else's clan or start your own. Without a roof over your head, you couldn't survive here for long. Sure, you have to help defend the sector and complete clan assignments, but when you compared that to wandering around Limbo and spending the night in the open air or in an abandoned apartment, the decision became obvious. If I wanted to live long enough to be able to get out of Rhapsody, which in theory was quite possible since the system had started giving me special assignments, then I needed a safe place where I could stay without getting eaten or stabbed in my sleep. And I didn't like dancing to someone else's tune, especially when you don't know what kind of clan leader you've got. As I understood it, Sanders wasn't the worst option, but staying in his clan wasn't going to work for me. I needed to find out how I could get my own outpost. I doubted they'd just give me one the second I asked. As I opened the donations tab from the notifications, I whistled in surprise. 1,000 messages. Wow. Sorry, guys, but I wouldn't be reading them. But thanks for the donations. 376,000 credits. That's nice. Not so long ago, that seemed like a lot of money, but now I knew it'd be enough to buy myself a nice gun, like the Hornet. That's good, of course, but still not a very significant amount, especially when you thought about what I'd had to do to earn those credits. However, together with the million credits I'd got for winning the tournament, not bad, there was also the money Blaze had won betting on me waiting for me at the base. All in all, not a bad start. Immersed in thought, I didn't notice myself dozing off. A sound brought me back to reality. I rubbed my face with my hand and strained my ears. An engine. As I glanced at my watch, though, I frowned. Was that for me? How did they get here so fast? I climbed out of the fuselage, grabbed the edge of the wing, and pulled myself up and out onto it. A cloud of dust could be seen in the distance. Sanders' men were making their way across the wasteland behind the spaceport. I waited until I could see the outlines of the armored truck, making sure it was the same vehicle that had come to pick me up on my return from Inferno, and jumped down. Man, there was still something I didn't like about this whole thing. I just didn't understand. How could they have gotten here so quickly? And why were they coming from that side? I listened to my gut and decided to, once again, trust my intuition. Caution couldn't hurt. Even though the tournament was over, too many people knew where I was, which meant I had to stay alert. I put my backpack and my helmet on, attached the Hornet behind my back, and picked up my battle-ready pulsar. After climbing out of the fuselage, I ran to the side and, after looking around, crouched behind the hull of a light police aircraft. From my hiding place, I could clearly see the area in front of the fuselage. The armored truck drove up to my previous shelter and stopped. I narrowed my eyes. For some reason, no one was in a hurry to jump out of the truck and roll the red carpet out for the winner. I was starting to get even more suspicious. A message popped up on the dashboard. Unknown nickname. We're here. Where are you? Come out. Man, I don't like any of this. I don't like it at all. Hold on. Just a sec. Need to get my gear together. After texting back, I found Sanders in my contacts and quickly typed a message. What's the code name of the commander you sent to pick me up? Sanders didn't take long to respond. What commander? Are you drunk or something? I'm coming to get you myself. Should be there in an hour. Crap. I released the safety catch on the pulsar and huddled behind the aircraft. Apparently, my intuition was right again. Have someone come out to help. The gear's heavy and my legs all messed up. Let's see if this works. Usually an injured leg wouldn't be an issue for someone wearing a steel rat with its artificial muscles, but I didn't think anyone in the truck was going to ask any questions. One sec. The truck's turret turned. The electric motor whirred, and then two twin machine guns opened a barrage of fire on the fuselage where I would have been if it wasn't for my sudden onset of paranoia. The heavy bullets pierced the metal like cardboard, ripping through it and turning it into a sieve. The machine guns were rattling for at least a minute, firing an incredible amount of ammunition. The concrete of the airfield was carpeted with shiny casings, and I just sat there looking at it, feeling rage rise from within. Freaking bastards. I activated the detectors and reached for the armored truck with my mental tentacle. Got 'em. There were six people in the truck, one in the turret operating the machine guns, two in the front, and three in the troop compartment. I was tempted to hit all six of them with a size strike, but held off. I didn't know if I had enough energy to reach everyone, and I didn't want to waste it in case I missed because I was going to need it. The troop compartment opened, and three fighters jumped out. They moved toward the battered fuselage, covering each other's backs, guns at the ready. I gritted my teeth. Wait for it, guys. You're in for a surprise. I rested the pulsar's barrel on the tail unit and held the trigger down, building up the charge. Holding the gun with one hand, I pulled one of the two plasma grenades from my pouch with my other hand and turned the ring on it to adjust the detonation level. After waiting for the fighters to get close to the hole in the fuselage, I swung my arm, giving Alice the command to adjust the trajectory, and tossed the grenade at them. Then I aimed and pulled the trigger all the way down, firing the accumulated charge at the truck's turret. I purposely didn't use the target tracker and aim assistant to avoid being detected by the enemy's implants, so the attack came as a complete surprise to them. Two explosions merged into one. I jumped up and rushed to the vehicle. One of the fighters hit by the blast was still alive. I hurried to finish him off with a short burst of fire. The clouds of fighters' consciousnesses, detected by psi scanner and glowing red in the interface, went out. There were no survivors left there. Similarly, there didn't appear to be any survivors in the truck where the turret had been completely torn off by the blast and was lying a dozen feet away. In the cabin, though, someone was still moving, albeit barely. The crew must have been concussed or maybe even burned by plasma. I rushed to the vehicle, slinging the pulsar behind my back and grabbing the Hornet in its stead, jumped up to the armored truck and pulled the front passenger door handle. Well, 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 look who we've got here. In the passenger seat, shaking his head and trying to come to his senses, was Red, Sanders' deputy. Oh, you son of a bitch. Grabbing Red by the beard, I yanked him out of the truck, blowing the head off the driver who had foregone his helmet at the same time, and turned back to the fat bastard. Well, hello, buddy. I grinned, raising my visor and kicking the engineer in the teeth. There was a cracking and a squelching sound. The toe of my armored boot turned red. Red howled and pressed his hands to his bloody mouth. Remember what I told you, you scum? I bellowed, kicking him again, this time in the ribs. Red howled again, rolled over, and clearly oblivious to the fact that his monstrous revolver was hanging from his belt, started crawling away. I told you, I continued, kicking the engineer in the ass, to never leave the fort, you piece of shit. I gave him another kick. You didn't listen to me. Well, too bad for you. I bent down, flipped the redhead over, ripped the revolver off his belt along with its holster, and tossed it aside. Who sent you? Sanders? I yelled, pointing the Hornet at the engineer's face. Tell me, you scumbag! Red didn't say anything. He was just whimpering, looking at me with his mad eyes full of hate. Answer me. I stepped forward, placed my foot on the fat man's crotch, and pressed down, lightly. Red groaned, thrashing about on the ground and shaking his head. He seemed to have forgotten how to speak. Not Sanders? Interesting. I shook my head, trying not to show how relieved I was. If Sanders had decided to get rid of me, it would mean my friends were already dead. But apparently, the bearded bastard acted on his own volition. Without hesitation, I commanded Alice to turn on the recording. Then why the hell are you trying to kill me, you moron? I asked, stepping on his groin again.
You humiliated me,
Red screamed, unable to bear the pain.
Sanders demoted me. He doesn't trust me anymore. And it's all because of you, you prick.
I raised my eyebrows. I don't think you're in a position to be insulting me right now, buddy.
Screw you.
Fine. I nodded, pressing my foot down even harder.
Stop! Okay, that's enough,
Red shouted. I'll stop if you tell me everything, I said, easing the pressure slightly.
I was sent to protect the workers, the engineer stammered, barely able to catch his breath. On the way there, I found out you'd won the tournament. Then Sly contacted me, offered money for your head. I talked the guys into it, and we went after you.
Sly. Again. That stubborn son of a bitch. I guess he wouldn't stop until I'd made good on the promise I'd made on camera. And you really thought Sanders would pat you on the shoulder for that?
Screw him. Screw Sanders and screw you, too. We were gonna join Sly anyway. I'm an engineer, not a freaking security guard. My place is inside the fort, not beyond the walls.
Screw Sanders, you say? I grinned. You know, soon you'll be able to say it to his face. He's on his way here. Red's eyes grew round with fear. I'm sure Sanders will think of something special for you, I continued. I don't know about the screw part, though. Red stared at me blankly. I'm afraid you won't be able to screw anyone anymore, buddy. I grinned, kicking the engineer in the groin with my armored boot as hard as I could. There was a sickening crackle. Red twitched, his eyes nearly popping out of their sockets, and then he passed out from pain and shock. I grimaced with disgust. Then I made sure the engineer was really unconscious and climbed into the armored truck to look for something to tie him up with. Chapter 2. Earth Federation, Orion System, Rhapsody, the Orange Zone, a.k.a. The Verge.
Attention! You have eliminated your clanmate. You receive a penalty, 5,000 XP.
The message repeated 5 times.
Your level has been lowered. Current level, 40. XP to the next level, 10,500. You have opened fire on your allies. You have been penalized. All XP earned in the next 5 days will be counted without applying the survival index multiplier.
Mm-hmm. So, that's how the system responded to friendly fire. Well, that made sense. Otherwise, it'd be all too easy to infiltrate someone else's clan and commit genocide from within. The freaking balance of power. Red, you fat bastard. I didn't really care about losing a level. As history had shown, earning 10,000 experience points wasn't an issue. But having the survival index multiplier disabled for 5 days, that sucks. I could barely keep myself from kicking the redhead again. As I swiped the notifications aside, I opened the private chat to find a few angry messages from Sanders.
Altai, what the fuck is going on? Why are you killing my men?
I grinned wryly and sent him a recording of Red's interrogation. There was silence for a couple of minutes. Then a new message arrived.
Stay where you are. I'm close. We'll figure it out once I get there. Don't do anything stupid.
You don't do anything stupid. I grabbed the grenades left by Red and the driver. Then I picked up the redhead's revolver, examined it, and after considering it, decided to keep it. That's one powerful weapon. Rare, but powerful. I'd never seen one of these before. A square receiver with guide bars at the top and bottom, a boxy magazine. Wait, was that really 50 caliber? Wow. I needed to ask Alice to find out what kind of gun it was. I'd always thought that short-barreled guns with their small caliber would be useless at the range, but this was a completely different matter. I might keep this one as a souvenir, so to speak. A reminder of the strong bond between me and the engineer. I took the revolver out of the holster, which was securely protecting the gun's exposed parts, and put my finger on the trigger.
New device detected, Alice came on. AS-12 Peacemaker Assault Revolver. A modern replica with modifications. Device locked. Initiating lock bypass protocol. Connecting to device. Failure. Initiating buffer overflow. Success. Connection established. Reloading module. Success. Access granted. Access level, root. Unlocking. Success. Reloading module. Success. Device may be synced to new user.
New user detected. Synchronization required. Proceed. Yes. Identification complete. Primary operator, subject number 33286AN. Please select the mode of operation, shared or private.
Private mode.
Private mode activated. Okay. Good. Now I needed to find out where the fat bastard kept the ammo and search the truck. Some would call it looting, but I needed weapons for me and my team. Sanders showed up after I'd already finished searching the armored truck and stockpiling the pilfered goods. Unfortunately, there wasn't much to pilfer. A couple of decent rifles, a plasma emitter, some ammo. But that was about it. The fighters' suits were cheap, and their tactical vests were pretty shabby. They weren't worth keeping. After digging through what was left of the three fighters from the troop compartment, I found their bracelets and transferred all of their credits to myself, 350,000 in total. The driver had another 60,000 on him. As for the gunner, neither his arm nor his bracelet was anywhere to be found. I briefly thought about checking Red's bracelet, but quickly dismissed the idea. The redhead would never have transferred his credits to me voluntarily, and torturing him for money, no way. I hadn't stooped so low yet, and hopefully never would. Before looting the truck and the fighters, I contacted Dis to check on the team. After congratulating me, he told me everyone was fine, and there was a party being planned at the fort. The occasion? The Thunderbirds winning the tournament, of course. I just grinned. Sure. Whatever. I briefly recounted the latest events to the Light Worshipper and instructed them to stick together, get their weapons, and stay in the living quarters if possible. I wasn't sure how the conversation with Sanders would turn out. Dis, a little worried, assured me he'd take care of everything and disconnected. As I spotted Sanders' vehicle, I gathered all the weapons and retreated into my hiding spot. I didn't think the leader of the Thunderbirds would attack me, especially after watching the video, but being prudent wouldn't hurt. The vehicle came to a dramatic halt at the wrecked armored truck. Sanders jumped out onto the concrete, followed by two fighters with guns in their hands. Expensive guns, I must say. Both the fighters' weapons and armor were top-notch. Must be Sanders' elite guard, probably his bodyguards.
"Come on out, you damn hero," Sanders muttered into his comlink. "You're nothing but trouble."
Despite his grumpy tone, he sounded friendly. The range of emotions emitted by the clan leader showed concern, anger, but also relief and gratitude. An odd mix, to be sure, but at least he wasn't eager to murder me. That was good. I climbed out of my cover, holding my gun at the ready with my finger on the trigger. The bodyguards immediately tensed, raised their guns, and stepped back, covering Sanders. Without waiting for a command, Alice scanned their armor and gear and displayed their specifications. After quickly scrolling through the specs, I put the pulsar down. I didn't have a chance against these guys. The distinctive attachments on their back, which were covered with armor, contained force field generators like the ones Razor had in his assault suit. There was no way I could take both of them out, so there was no reason for me to try and show off. Seeing me in a completely different place than expected, Sanders just shook his head.
"Safety first, huh?"
the clan leader asked with a grin on his face.
"That's why I'm still alive." I shrugged my shoulders. "Where's that bastard?" Sanders asked, suddenly becoming serious.
"In the troop compartment," I said, pointing to the wrecked armored truck.
"Alive?"
"Unfortunately, yes," I nodded with regret.
"I really wanted to strangle that scum, but figured you'd want to talk to him." "That's right."
Sanders reached for the truck's door, but one of his bodyguards, who had suddenly appeared next to the clan leader, beat him to it.
Nudging his boss aside, he swung the door open, holding his gun at the ready. Only after making sure Sanders was not in danger did he step aside.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?